Let's open our Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse number 14. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse number 14. This is the seventh lesson in this series, the conclusion of the whole matter. And the title of this lesson is, It Shall Be Forever. Notice what the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 3 and verse number 14. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it, and God doeth it, that men should fear before him. Here we have Solomon preaching this message to us about life, and of course over 30 times in this book he talks about the fact that life is vain, and we realize that life without God is empty. And as Solomon comes to this third chapter and begins to discuss the seasons of life, there are good seasons and bad seasons. In fact, there are 14 contrasts here as he speaks of the seasons of life. And he talks about the fact that there is a purpose for every season. God has a purpose for every season in our life, whether it be a good season or what we might consider a bad season, a time of joy and a time of sorrow. God is working an eternal purpose. And as he comes to verse 14, Solomon says, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Solomon realizes, as God begins to speak to him, that there is the fact of eternity to look forward to. And because of eternity, it will affect our lives as Christians as we live here on this earth. So what type of view do we have? Do we have an earthly view? Are we simply living for today? Are we living for the things of this earth? Or do we have an eternal view? And whichever view that we have will certainly change the course of our lives. There's a song that says, with eternity's values in view, Lord, with eternity's values in view, may I do each day's work for Jesus with eternity's values in view. And if we have the values of eternity in view, it certainly will change our lives. It'll change the things that we do. It'll change how we spend our time. It'll change how we look at each day. We need to be working for eternity. And so Solomon, now realizing that eternity is just ahead of him, sees that what God does shall be forever. And as we consider this lesson, let us look at some things in God's Word. The first thing you'll notice then as we consider eternity is that it is a statement of fact. It is a statement of fact. Look at what he says again in verse number 14. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Look at that first two words there. He said, I know. This is a statement, a declarative statement, a definite statement, and he wants us to realize that eternity is a fact. He says, I know that it'll last forever. So first of all, as we look at eternity in this lesson, we see that it is a statement of fact. Look at the language that Solomon used as he speaks about eternity in verse 14. He says, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. There's no question about it in the mind of Solomon. He says, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. This is a statement of fact. Eternity is a fact. We serve an eternal God. The Bible says in Genesis 1:1 that in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. In Revelation chapter number 1, if you'll look there with me in your Bibles, Revelation chapter number 1 and verse number 17, the Bible says, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and have the keys of hell and of death. The Lord Jesus Christ is an eternal God. He says, I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and the end. There was no beginning for the Lord, and there will be no ending. He's an eternal God, and he has created us in his image. And so we are eternal beings. In Psalm 33, if you look with me there in the 33rd Psalm, in verse number 11, the Bible says, the counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. God's counsel will stand forever. What God wants to accomplish, what God says in his word, it will stand forever. In Isaiah chapter 46 and verse number 9, the Bible says, remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. So the Lord wants us to realize that His counsel will stand forever. He is an eternal God. And here's Solomon now. He's looking at the works of His hands. He's trying to find what good there is in life. And of course, he's trying to find it without the Lord. And as he looked at all the things that he had accomplished and all the things that he had built, all the pleasures in life that he had enjoyed, all the knowledge that he had accumulated, he realized that these works of his hands were just for this time. He was going to die, and he was going to leave those works behind. And as he examined life and the seasons of life, God helped him to understand that eternity is real, and that he'll live forever, that God is an eternal God, and that what he doeth forever. Now, not only do we see that it's a statement of fact, but we see that it is a statement of faith. A statement of faith. Again, let's look in verse number 14 of Ecclesiastes chapter 3. He says, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Now notice this phrase, nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. We've often said that we're saved by the grace of the Lord. There's nothing that we can add, and there's nothing that we can take away from God's finished work. In fact, the Bible tells us in the book of Ephesians, in chapter 2, Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse number 8, the Word of God tells us, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The Lord Jesus Christ has done all that is necessary to pay for our sin, and there is nothing that we can add to earn our way into heaven. Now, it's human nature that we would try to help God out in this matter of salvation, but the Lord Jesus Christ has purchased our salvation. He has done the work. And so our faith must be resting upon His finished work. We cannot add to it nor take away from it. And as believers, we must not attempt to help the Lord out. The Lord Jesus told Peter that he was going to the cross. He told his disciples, he said, I'm going to the cross to give my life a ransom for sin. And Peter said, not so, Lord. He was trying to take away, though his motive was right, he was trying to take away from the work of the Lord. And the Lord Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. And so God is not pleased when we try to add to nor take away from his finished work. This is faith that we must put in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as believers, we are to live a life of faith, a life of faith. And as we examine the fact that eternity is in view, it will help us to live a faith life. Look with me in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter number 11, the book of Hebrews in the 11th chapter. The Bible says in verse number 13, these all died in faith. Now, who are these all? That's the men and the women who are described in these first few verses of Hebrews chapter 11, men like Noah and Enoch, Abraham, Sarah. The Bible said these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. In other words, these people lived a life of faith. And how were they able to do that? Because the Bible says they were persuaded of the promises of God. They embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. In other words, they had a view of eternity, and because of that view of eternity, they were able to live the life of faith. Now, the Bible tells us again in 1 Peter chapter 4, if you'll turn there with me, in 1 Peter chapter number 4, the Bible speaks about living this life of faith with eternity in view. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 12, the Bible says, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Peter, as he writes this epistle, wants the believers to understand that when suffering and sorrow comes our way, that we should not think it strange, as though it did not belong to us. Because the Lord tells us that we will suffer, yea, all who live in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. The Bible tells us that. So we understand that. But how are we to handle that? How are we to reckon that with the grace of God? How are we to live our lives as Christians in the midst of this suffering and persecution? Because we are to see the glory, verse number 13, which shall be revealed. This is the glory of the Lord. This is eternity. And as Solomon said earlier, there is a time to every purpose. And we know that God has a heavenly purpose in our lives. And as he's working in the times and seasons, he's working according to that purpose. And God will reveal to us a greater glory one day. But we must trust him. And so not only is eternity a statement of fact, but it's a statement of faith. We realize that we're living for eternity. And as we live for eternity, it will affect the way we live our lives here on earth. Not only do we see then that it's a statement of fact and a statement of faith, but we see that it is a statement of fear. Look again with me, if you will, back in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. In verse number 14, again, as Solomon says, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything take it from it. And God doeth it that men should fear before him. If we understand that there is an eternity that awaits us, then we're going to understand that we have to put our faith in the Lord and that God is in control. He's an eternal God. And so we must fear him. And if we're going to fear him, we're going to obey him. In fact, it's going to change the way in which we live our lives. We're not going to go about our own lives doing things to accomplish things for ourselves, but we're going to go about our lives serving the Lord. In Revelation chapter 15, verse number 3, if you'll turn there with me, Revelation and chapter 15 and verse number 3, the Bible says, And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. Notice in verse 4 it says, Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? When we have a view of eternity, when we understand that eternity is a statement of fact, and when we live our lives in the view of eternity, by faith in the Lord, then we will fear the Lord and be obedient to him. So Solomon says again, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. That's the lesson this week. It shall be forever. This is a fact. Eternity is a fact. Now we must put our faith in him. We don't need to try to add to or take away anything from what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. And so put your faith in the Lord. And don't let anything that happens, any suffering, any persecution that comes your way, don't let that change what you believe about the Lord. Satan certainly is going to try to do that. But we need to fear the Lord and honor him and obey him. I hope you know that the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior. If you don't know him as your Savior, you need to trust him today. Your time is fading away, and eternity is where you'll be very soon. And so, trust the Lord. Make certain today that if you died, you'd go to heaven. If you are a Christian, today's the day to determine that this nominal Christianity is not going to be what's pleasing the Lord. And as you look back in your life someday, if you've lived a nominal Christian life, in view of eternity, when you get a glimpse of a holy God, you'll have regrets. And so today, resolve in your heart to serve the Lord with eternity's values in view. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. I pray that you'll help us and speak to us about eternity. May it become real in our hearts and minds, that we would live each day, not just for today or tomorrow or maybe even years to come down the road, but that we might plan for eternity, that we might serve you, Lord, that we might lay up treasures in heaven. Help us, Lord Jesus, to be about your business. In thy holy name we pray. Amen.